This is based on two papers I've written with Babichenko Stefanski and Alessandra Cagnazzo. And well, the goal is to apply methods of integrability to ADS, to basically. Oh, it's yeah, it's low on batteries. Yeah. Can you hear me, everyone?
Not yet.
Oh. Anyway, so the idea is to apply integrability to ADS to an ADS 3 CFT2 system, and so it was applied to ADS 5 cross SPIF and with great success. But ADS 3 is the case where the exact solution of string theory on an ADS space has been first obtained by more or less standard methods of World Street Safety. So the string there can be quantized, provided that the background is pure NSNS. So the difficulty in, say, in ADS 5 crosses 5 is that there are Raman-Raman fluxes, and one has to invent something new, like integrability, to quantize it. So here, there is at least a corner in the parameter space where the string can be quantized by CFT methods. And perhaps by understanding how to connect this to integrability, we can learn something. So anyway, well, as usual, this CFT starts with a brain construction of some sort. So here are the brains that create this ADS3 space in the near horizon limit are D5 brains. So we can take, say, two stacks of D5 brains intersecting at through some angle. So this the brain configuration is has this booklet shape. Okay. So these are, this is one stack of D5s, the other stack of D5s. In 10 dimensions, they intersect along a line. And so we can insert a D1 stack of D1 brains along this line. So CFT, the dual two-dimensional CFT will live on this one-dimensional defect. There is a sort of degenerate limit of this configuration when we take this angle to be zero. So then we have just a single stack of D brains and a stack of D1 brains immersed into it. And so this is the famous D1, D5 system. And again, on the world volume of D1, we have a CFT that that lives in it. So the new horizon geometry of these stacks of brains is either ADS 3 cross S 3 cross S 3 cross S1 in this case, or ADS 3 cross S 3 cross T4. Where in the first case, the sizes of of the ADS space and the spheres are related in some way. So So let's say this A, so the radius of ADL is L. The radius of one sphere is R plus and of the other is R minus. Then there is a relationship that they should satisfy. So their inverse radii satisfy a triangle equality. So they can be sides of a equilateral of a triangle with a straight angle. So a natural parameterization that would be that R plus is equal to L divided by sine phi, and R minus is L divided by cosine phi. So this phi is the same as this angle. And in particular, if you take this angle to zero, then the radius of one of the spheres blows up, so it becomes infinite dimensional. And in some sense, this background can be obtained from that by a limiting procedure. So what is known about, in addition, there is also a Ramon-Ramon flux, which must be a three form in this case. The size of S1 is a modulus. It can be arbitrary, as well as T4 can be, it has lots of moduli. They're not fixed by supergravity, obviously. As you see, this system has a lot of parameters that one can adjust. So there's one of these parameters is phi. Then parameters related, say, to S1 and T4. Then there is another parameter I'll talk about later. Let me say a few words about dual CFT2. So dual CFT2 is supposed to be a sigma model. Well, it's a two-dimensional theory. So it is supposed to be a sigma model on the modular space of instantons. And this is because, in this picture, of course, these D1s can be separated within D5. So they are sort of co-dimension four defects in the six-dimensional theory that lives on the D5 world volume. So their low energy dynamics is, they're just instantons, right? So their low energy dynamics is that of instantons in usual Young-Mills instantons. And so the low energy description is based on the motion on the instanton moduli space. These are instantons on T4. It is known that this moduli space is a hyperkeller, admits a hyperkeller metric. So the sigma model in general will have 4,4 conformal symmetry, which is what we expect from the dual of this background because it has 16 supercharges. But as far as I know, there is no good Lagrangian description of the sigma model. And the CFT side of the integrability story here is almost completely unknown. So we can do lots of things on the string side, but almost nothing on the CFT side. Now another remark is that here we can also switch on the NSNS flux. So in say in ADS5 crosses 5, that's impossible. Here it is clear that we can do an S-duality transformation on the background. So in other words, we can replace any of the D-brains by fundamental strings. D5s can be replaced by an S5 brains. And, well, the Ramon-Ramon form can be traded for the NSNS B-flux. And, of course, in the supergravity approximation, all this is a well-defined operations. Just symmetries. I mean, it's there is a modular space of solutions where they are supported by a combination of F and H fluxes. And in particular, pure NSNS background is solvable. Well, just because this is reduces to Wiese-Minowitz model, with a non-compact symmetry group, and the string quantization boils down to some representation theory of chiral algebras on the world sheet. This was sorted out by Moldasena and Aguri in 2000. So this solution is known. However, this only applies to the case where there are no Ramon-Ramon flux, when Ramon backgrounds are potentially as complicated as their counterparts in ADS5 crosses 5. But it turns out that the sigma model there is integrable, and we hope to apply to be able to apply the same sort of methods that we use in ADS5 crosses 5. So let me now describe how to construct the sigma model in this background and to understand why is it integrable. So since we are dealing with Ramon-Ramon background, we need to use the Green-Schwarz formulation of string theory. And then the world sheet is embedded into the corresponding superspace, and integrability is a consequence of some geometric properties of the superspace that string propagates in. Namely, the fact that if you take superspace whose bosonic section is ADS3 crosses 3, this can be written as a coset of some supergroup. So this is just the rigid part of the conformal algebra in two dimensions. So this is an obvious isometry, well, of ADS3. And then S3 is responsible for the R symmetry. And this is the usual story. So if you divide it by the diagonal bosonic subgroup, we get exactly the superspace that's associated with ADS3 crosses 3. For the other case, we need to take the exceptionally supergroup D21, comma alpha, and then take two copies of this, and again mod out by the diagonal bosonic subgroup. So this is basically. Sorry? S1 is not there, so This one is simply not there. So what the way it works is that, so in principle, I should start with the Greensward section on the full superspace, including S1. That will have lots of kappa symmetries. And it is possible to choose the kappa symmetry gauge such that the fermions will be only associated with the coset and will only talk to ADS3 cross S3. So the T4 directions will be simply decouple. So in the conformal gauge, T4 and the coset part do not talk to each other. But of course, if you don't fix the, well, if you fix, say, the light cone gauge, which is what we typically do to exploit integrability, then they do interact. And one of the problems here is to understand what's the, how to include the T4 modes. So anyway, let me talk about this coset part. So here, okay, so the parameter alpha in the supergroup is related to the angle phi. And one can see this, for instance, this triangular relationship between the radii is just a consequence of the commutation relations in this algebra. So they are such that the invariant, the Killing metric on this exceptional superalgebra is such that the sizes of two S2s, SU2s, are different. And so they're related precisely by the same relationship. So this is, in a sense, this equation is the equation for the coefficients of the Killing metric on the superalgebra. So these two cosets belong to a more general class of cosets, which I'll call permutation cosets. Whose structure is the following. So we take a supergroup G and then mod the tensor product of two copies of this supergroup by its diagonal bosonic subgroup. So this is some supergroup. This is the bosonic subgroup. And so when we take this coset, it turns out that it has a very interesting property. Namely, it has a Z4 symmetry. So mathematicians call these vector spaces that have Z4 symmetry semi-symmetric cosets. So it's a supersymmetric generalization of a symmetric space, and the symmetric space would be invariant under Z2. But because there are supersymmetry here, it is also possible to have spaces which enjoy fourth order symmetry. So let me explain how it works in this case. So at the level of the Lie algebras of Lie algebra of well, this group, which is a direct product of Lie algebras, of two copies of Lie algebras of G, we can define an operator that is an automorphism of this Lie algebra, and which acts in the following way. So omega interchanges the elements of the two left and right vectors. Sometimes changing the sign of the corresponding generator, in such a way that it, say, changes the sign when it takes an element from the right part of this direct sum. And so this is a sort of graded permutation, but not completely graded. So it's one can call it a semi-graded permutation. And then, obviously, this semi-graded permutation raised to the fourth power gives an identity. So we can diagonalize the Z4 charge on the Lie algebra of the coset symmetry group. And then, okay, so the invariant subspace, the one that is preserved by the action of this automorphism, is precisely the Lie algebra of the the denominator of the coset. Well, just because the elements that are invariant under this section are bosonic elements of the subalgebra that are the same on the left and on the right. Right, so H0 is the diagonal part of the bosonic subalgebra. So this coset endures this Z4 symmetry because it's a coset over an invariant subspace. And it is known that in that cases the sigma model will be integrable. So this is the reason why integrability arises in this context. And you see it's a bit more general. This construction actually would work for any supergroup, but only these two cases are interesting. So there, this is, well, for consistency, one has to impose some other constraints like zero of the beta function and the central charge counting, and that only works if we take, so at the end, it reduces only to these two cases. One can really take all the list of all possible supergroups, and only these two will remain. Yes. I don't know. That's a classical statement. Now, only those two are consistent in string theory. So one has to impose certain conditions for zero beta function. That leaves only two series of for the G. So it should be PSU n slash n or OSP 2n plus 2 slash 2n. But then if n is too large, then the central charge will be much bigger than 26. So these are the only interesting cases. They are expected to be quantum integrable, but well, I guess for the reason of good faith, nothing more. So no one has really checked. Not really. So usually this is some spin chain Hamiltonian, right? So people, Rastelli, Razamat, and Pacman, they they made an attempt to compute this Hamiltonian, but it's so difficult. Even to the first order of perturbation theory, they didn't get over the sort of the simpler question, what is the Hilbert space and how to introduce the basis. And exactly, yes. So what they start, so yeah. Yes, so this was the point of their work. So they showed that in the orbital point you can define, you can classify operators so there is a classification of operators that is directly analogous to single trace, double trace, etc. classification in planar field theories. But then, of course, there is some marginal operator that perturbs you away from the orbital point, and the interesting thing would be to compute the first order correction to the spectrum. Which papers do you mean in the keeping?
So, I mean, the very, yeah, so the very low activity calculation was a paper by Narain, that I have to compare to the Stromian theorem of Moscow, where we're studying in the plane where it's like this correlate of two scales.
Yeah, so with two impurities, that might be simpler. So, to really derive, so anyway, so there probably with the, if one finds a good way to, of computing in this orbital CFTs, it should be possible to derive the spin chain, but it hasn't been done. So the spin chain Hamiltonian is simply not known. Alpha? Alpha, not really, why? Yes. Alpha, I do not expect it to be quantized.
The matrix part of the S matrix, would that be fixed by the relevant symmetry, like in an equal score?
There are people working on this. They claim that there are some people working on this. So the, they claim that they can fix the dispersion relation in this matrix exactly as in equals 4. So it's still not published, but it might be possible. So anyway, let me describe the sigma model. So we take this group space G by G, then it is sliced onto the orbits of the denominator, and then we embed the world sheet into this space and identify all points along the orbit. So the string embedding is, well, obviously it is given by a map of the string into tensor product of two groups. So at each point on the world sheet, we have two elements of, two supergroup elements. But we have to identify them upon the action of the denominator. So H is well, is some element of the bosonic subgroup. So this is a gauge symmetry and of the, this must be gauge symmetry of the sigma model action. So to construct the action, we introduce currents. There are two of them, left and right. And under the gauge symmetry, they transform as, well, in principle, as a connection. But first, you see that this non-homogeneous term that we don't want to have, it appears, first of all, in the bosonic subalgebra. And also, it's the same for left and right currents. So if we, say, take a difference between G left and G right, it will transform homogeneously. Also, the fermionic currents transform homogeneously. And this is, these are the building block of building blocks of the action, whereas the zeroth component, which is the sum of the bosonic projections of the current, is the non-dynamical gauge field. So these are the indices here denote the charges under Z4. And now we should write the action. So there is an obvious term that we can write, which is the sigma model term. Then, okay, as known since the work of Mitsaev and Seitlin, one should add the wedge product of the fermion currents. And so this action with cup equal to 1 would describe the string with pure Ramon-Ramon flux. But we also want to describe this mixed case where there is there are both Ramon-Ramon and NS-NS fluxes, and for that we need to add the Vesmina term to the action. So, which should be an integral over a three-dimensional interior of the world sheet. So the boundary of this three-dimensional ball should be the world sheet. And so this term should contain the usual Vesumina, the bosonic Vesumina Witten term, which is the wedge product of three bosonic currents. Now the problem is that if one takes a variation of this, this is not, so this is not really a total derivative. So this current has to, so the variation of this action should be two-dimensional. This is the way how the Vesumina term works. So one has to add some fermionic pieces to this to the section so as to make the variation two-dimensional. And on this paper with Alessandro Cagnazzo, we constructed these terms. So one can show that this equation has, so that this section has the all the right properties. So it has the local two-dimensional variation. It's invariant under supersymmetries, and it is gauge invariant under coset transformations. So it is a good starting point for, well, it can serve as a string sigma model. But of course, in string theory, we also want to have kappa symmetry. And we expect that the system will be integrable, and also this should be conformally invariant. So the coupling constant in front of the action shouldn't run. So it, now, remarkably, all these three conditions are equivalent to one another and lead to one and the same relationship between these two couplings. So if one imposes integrability, or kappa symmetry, or conformal invariance, then all these conditions just require that kappa squared is equal to 1 minus chi squared. So, well, there are two important cases. One case is where kappa is equal to 0, chi is equal to 0, kappa is equal to 1. So this is pure Ramon-Ramon background. And then another case is when kappa is equal to 0 and chi is equal to 1. This is pure in SNS. So this is the Wessel-Minowitten point where the system should be equivalent to the an SNS string which is solvable. So an interesting point here is that once we switch on an SNS flux, so this coupling becomes non-zero, this breaks Z for symmetry. So this term has, so this term has grading 0, and this term has grading 2. It's actually unique to this Z for cosets, and it's typically people assume that integrability is a consequence of Z for symmetry. But it is possible to break Z for symmetry without breaking integrability, which only works for this type of permutation cosets, because so one could have added this term to any Z for coset, but a Z for coset for say simple supergroup would lead to, so this term will be trivially zero because of the Z for invariance of the supertrace. Now here the trick is that the supertrace is not really Z for invariant, in particular the, so the, well, commutator of the G2 currents belongs to the invariance subalgebra, and normally it would be orthogonal to the subalgebra of grading 2. But here they are not orthogonal, and so that's why one can write down this action. So let me speak about these three conditions. So so the section should be conformally invariant. So which means that if we define a partition function, say of the action with some coupling constant, then which is, well, the radius equivalent to the radius of anti de Sitter space, then this path integral shouldn't contain UV divergences. So, which is in general not the case. So one can compute, well, one loop corrections by the usual, well, background fill method. So one can write decompose the group elements into some background, and then quantum fluctuations and then integrate over quantum fluctuations to the one loop accuracy, then one finds that there is a counter term that has to be added to the action. Which is of this form. And the super trace is taken in the adjoint representation. Okay, so this is a, this would renormalize the sigma model coupling. Right, so this would renormalize this term, because the super trace of square of this, the super trace norm is the same in all representations up to a constant. Now, for some supergroups, this constant is zero. And this is the case that we want to study, just because otherwise the beta function will not be zero. Unless kappa is equal to zero. So the beta function is zero in two cases. Either kappa is zero, or this is the same as chi equals to one. And this is when we are at the Wesselmann-Witten point. So it's the same effect as in the bosonic Wesselmann-Witten model, when the sigma model coupling and the Wesselmann coupling are adjusted such that they're, well, they're equal, then the beta function turns to zero. Okay, so this is true also for these super Cosette models. But there is a weaker condition, namely if the super trace in the adjoint representation is zero, then we don't need this condition for the beta function to be zero. And this happens to for two series of super groups, or PSU n slash n, or OSP 2n plus 2 slash 2n. They have zero super trace. And basically, this exhausts these two cases, because this exceptional D to 1 alpha super group is a deformation of OSP 4.2. Okay, so the next condition is kappa symmetry. So kappa symmetry is the action is allows one to exclude some fermions from the action. So in this approximation, when we say expand in to quadratic ordinate fluctuations, this would be just a shift symmetry of the fermion field. Or we take the fermionic fluctuations of the string and then shifted by some supercharge. And then it turns that the action indeed enjoys the symmetry where the supercharge is defined in the following way. So if you introduce the chiral components of the background current, Then the superchargers are those that commute with kappa plus minus. And then the action is invariant. Provided that kappa squared is equal to 1 minus chi squared. So one finds this condition as a consistency of the kappa symmetry. Sorry? Eliminate what? Ah, how many? Let me see. Should be. I think it has half rank. So there is 16 superchargers. This is 16 super generators. So you can eliminate. Let me see. Yeah, it's half rank. So there are 8 superchargers. And you eliminate. You can eliminate 4. Now, classic, well, integrability is you want to find the Lax operator, right, that would satisfy the flatness condition. And that should be built from the current, so we can find, look for the Lax operator with the following ansatz. So this should be true on the equations of motion. In fact, equivalent to the equations of motion. So one just takes this generic form of the Lax operator, plugs it in the Lax equation on the flatness condition, and then one gets actually 6 equations for 4 numbers. So generically, they don't have solutions. But if the couplings satisfy this condition, then suddenly 2 of these equations become, dependent. And so the system turns out to be integrable so that this there is one free parameter, so they can all be expressed in terms of one complex spectral parameter. And then the usual story about integrability works. So let me dwell into much detail, but again, it only works if the couplings satisfy this condition. So, and then the system is integrable. One can define a monodromy matrix, and this would generate an infinite set of conserved charges. So in this case, one may expect that the system is exactly solvable. And basically, what one can do is try to transplant the known exact solution for ADS5 cross S5 string to this case. So let me remind you how it works in ADS5 cross S5. Um, Well, there the symmetry group is PSU 2,2/4. So from the string perspective, one can explain the solution the following way. So one can first fix the Lightcon gauge, or eliminating all unphysical degrees of freedom in the string action, and leaving only 16 oscillators, which in this case are massive. So for this massive modes, there is still a remaining supersymmetry that constrains quite a lot their properties. Namely, they their dispersion relation is uniquely fixed by symmetry. And then generic states are, well, one can put an arbitrary number of excitations, excite any number of oscillators. The energy will be the sum of moment, the sum of this energies of individual excitations, and the only constraint will be periodicity of the wave function, which is given by the set of beta equations. So as usual, we, well, for free particles that would be equal to 1, but now there is a non-trivial scattering between the particles, and so one should take into account the scattering phase shifts with other particles, and that produces an exact quantization conditions for the momentum. So these beta equations, they have a well-defined group theory structure. So they're actually related to the Cartan decomposition of the symmetry algebra. So if one draws a Dynkin diagram for this super algebra, then, okay, so each of the nodes of the Dynkin diagram corresponds to some set of parameters which parameterize the momentum of the particles and their, well, flavor indices, because they are not just one particles. It can have 16 possible polarization states. So this index alpha that runs along the Dynkin diagram describes various polarizations of these particles. And so on each node, we can have such and such number of parameters that satisfy the beta equations. So, okay, there are some kinematics involved. So basically, the most important parameters sit on this middle node. They carry energy and momentum, so which is customarily parameterized by the Zhukovsky variables. And then the momentum is given by the ratio of x plus and x minus. And the energy is given by I times x minus minus x plus. So this is just kinematics. And then the beta equations are, well, obviously written in this form, right? So there is e to the I pi by L, and then there is some S matrix on the right-hand side, which is known and which is quite complicated. So this equation takes one page if you write them into expanded form. But anyway, these are equations that are known. Now here we can do a similar thing. So we can play the following game. So suppose that the kinematics remains the same. Well, we assume that the kinematics is the same. And what changes is just the group structure. Well, then we don't need to change anything in this equation except for the Dynkin diagram. So what we need to do is just to take the Dynkin diagram of PSU 1 1/2 superalgebra. Then we should take two copies of that. And I forgot to tell that, in fact, so in addition to this classical links, there are also some quantum links that arise because, well, when we go beyond the tree level in string theory, that connect the middle node to the outer fermion links, with which it's not really connected in the, well, group theory Dynkin diagram. So these quantum nodes can be actually deduced from studying the classical string motions in ADS5 crosses 5. So here, one can study the same case, and then one discovers that the quantum these quantum links again go in the same way. So they connect the momentum-carrying bosonic nodes to the fermionic nodes to which it is not connected classically. So one can, well, take this Dynkin diagram. Each link corresponds to a certain element in this matrix, which is we take to be the same as in ADS5 crosses 5. And then we just write down the equations that correspond to this structure, which is just a, well, it's just a conjecture by analogy. We don't know if it's true or not. We certainly know that it's incomplete. So, for instance, one can, count how many physical excitations of the string this picture describes. So in ADS5 crosses 5, one can see that it describes 8 particles because, okay, so if we put one excitation on the middle node, that would create a particle with given momentum and energy. And then adding excitations on the adjacent nodes, one can just change the flavors of this particle. So the number of flavor states of each particle is the number of lines that cross the middle node and go from some nodes outside, and one can count that this number is 8. So here, the number of various excitations is equal, so one can count it to be 16. So here, the number of excitations is 8. Well, and one can easily understand what is the reason for that. It's just because we are missing modes on T4, plus their super partners. So there should be some missing massless modes. On T4, and their super partners. And currently, it's not known how to incorporate them into the Beta-Ansatz equations. Actually, it's not even clear if this picture is consistent. So suppose that we have some quantum theory, and then I'm telling you that I can forget about all massive particles, all massless particles. They don't affect the dynamics of massive particles. This sounds like nonsense, but in integrable theories, that can happen. And because in integrable theories, all interactions are pairwise. And so if interactions between massive and massless particles are diagonal, then massive particles indeed form a consistent truncation even in quantum theory. So, but for that we need to make sure that if you collide two massive particles, then we cannot produce massless particles, and that the scattering of massless and massive particles is reflectionless. So these are very strong conditions. And there was a recent paper by Rangunot, Sundian, and Wolf, who analyzed the perturbation theory in the sigma model around BMN geodesics. Basically, the next order beyond BMN and light cone quantization. And quite remarkably, they have shown that there is no massless particle production in collisions of massive particles, and also that massless massive scattering is reflectionless. And at the level of their calculation, it's just kinematics. It doesn't follow from any symmetries. But at tree level, it's effect. So perhaps this picture captures at least part of the exact quantum spectrum of this system. So thank you. I'll stop here.
Why is there, so when you talk about the integrability picture, why is there no star J1 or star J2 term?
There is no. Because you see that star only in the action, which I raised, star only appears in front of J2. So J1 and J3 never enter with the star in the equations of motion. And the Lux connection, they also never appear with the star.
When you have massless modes, the way you describe it, like you have a asymptotic theory that they both and massive describes some consistent closed subset. But wouldn't the existence of massless somehow invalidate the asymptotic?
Oh.
Particles not talking to each other when they're far away.
Potentially, yes. But again, in integrable systems, things happen. And one can define, for instance, what is factorized scattering of massless particles. Otherwise, for massless particles into dimensions, what is this matrix? It's nonsense. But in integrable theory, it makes sense.
It's the way of giving them mass and then.
Yeah, perhaps there is this might be a good way to deal with them. Because you see, what is mass? Mass is the curvature of the, mass arises from the curvature. Now, one doesn't need to add a T4, it can be any Keller manifold. So one can study ADS3 cross S3 cross
it's alpha.
Any K3. And then if it's sufficiently curved, there will be no mass, no massless modes.
But if you turn on alpha, there is still the S1.
Yes, there it's on S1. And there is another massless mode. So there are actually two massless modes. So the relative orientation of this S3s is another massless excitation. But I think that really what happens, what should happen here is that, so the now in ADS5 crosses 5, PSU2/4 is the full conformal group. Here the full conformal group is Virasoro, so it's there is a huge symmetry enhancement in the target space that is not visible in this picture because this deals only with the rigid part of the Virasoro. And so on. The natural conjecture is that this enhancement of PSU or PSU2/2 to the Virasoro happens when with massless mode. So they're just responsible for adding the all the other high levels of the Virasoro generators. Oh, I forgot to tell. This is for chi equals 1. So this is without NSNS flux. So we don't know how to write down beta equations for.
So chi is really arbitrary, or is it an integer by nature?
Chi is between 0 and 1, so it's any number between 0 and 1. What is quantized here is an overall coupling. So. Let's see, so square root of lambda divided by 2 pi times chi should be an integer divided by 12 pi. So right, so this is the quantization condition, but it involves both lambda and chi.
Lambda is not really lambda.
That what?
It's clear that lambda in the dispersion relation is really lambda in Gaussian.
No, no, absolutely not. It's not really, but from the string side, it's difficult to say. So to the leading word, it must be the same. But then there might be corrections. No one has studied this question.
Well, I think in the BMN limit, you get, I mean, the order of limit issue as usual, but you get the same lambda to come.
Here?
For ADS and ADS. The BMN.
Okay, it's a good indication that it's not renormal. But we know the cases where it is, like IDS4 cross CP3 is an example where there is a renormalization parameter in the dispersion relation. And one can see this by comparing quick coupling to the Riemann limit.
Do you know what is the analog of Wilson line?
I don't know. I don't have much intuition about the CFT side. So it's some theory that, well, to me, it doesn't, I would say it doesn't have Lagrangian description. I mean, there is this. A You can say that it's signal on the one-way space of instantons. Potentially that gives a Gaussian description, but to me it just works.
Starting from the old default point and ending the deformation, it's not the same as starting from free theory and depending on the cut.
This is, again, this is not quite a Lagrangian description. We can say how this, so this perturbation involves twist operator in the orbifold. How do you write it as a...
No, but that, you would say the same thing with the eigenmodule, the spin operator in the eigenmodule. And there's an operator in this. You cannot write it in terms of the minimum of fit, but it doesn't matter.
You know the OP with the...
Yes, you know the OP.
Yes, so you don't have Lagrangian description. I mean, you can do calculations with it. But anyway, there should be a way to understand this, all these questions, for sure. I cannot give the answer right away.
Most questions, so let's make us begin again.